Dorothea there with Theodore. Dorothea, top of the right circle, reels it in, hands it off. Carlson shoots, off the post and home!
From the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com.
Shoots, kick save, Fleury. Rebound loose, a shot, and no! It goes through Fleury for a goal! It's Tomas Hertl, his first goal of the night!
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for access with the team, exclusive player interviews, and breaking news from around the National Hockey League. Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace, Chris Chapman, live inside the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studios. Findlay Chevrolet on the 215, home of the... There will be a Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final. The Edmonton Oilers force Game 6 with a Game 5 victory in Sunrise, Florida yesterday. A 5-3 winner for the Edmonton Oilers. And now we have a couple of days before Game 6 opens up Friday night in Edmonton. Boy, oh boy, the Edmonton Oilers did something I didn't expect that they would be able to do. But they have made what seemed like a runaway series for the Florida Panthers in the Stanley Cup Final into an incredibly intriguing series for a number of different reasons. We're going to get two great observations in just a few moments. We've got Ash from Sam and Ash joining us a little bit later on in the program. We're going to talk about hurdling furniture and what to do in that situation. I hope I piqued your interest just a little bit. That's coming up, the legal minute, around 4:45 or so. And hour number two is going to serve as essentially an extended version of one-timers. We had a couple of trades earlier today in the National Hockey League. It feels like the offseason is in full swing, and yet the Stanley Cup Final beats on. So a couple of trades, a waiver claim, and just a couple of things that we really need to get into. Pierre-Luc Dubois on the move again. That is something I did not expect the Kings would be able to pull off, and yet they did. So all of that coming at you in hour number two of the VGK Insider Show. But as I mentioned off the top, the Edmonton Oilers have done it. They have forced Game 6. All they've got to do is win two more games. Chris Chapman, when you think about Game 5, there's a couple of things that stand out to me. Obviously, the Florida Panthers took too long to get themselves into the game. It wasn't until they fell behind 3-0 that the Florida Panthers woke up. When they did wake up, they were the better team for probably the final 40 minutes or so of the hockey game, but it wasn't enough for Florida to overcome two separate three-goal deficits. They were losing 3-0, and then they were losing 4-1. I thought Matthew Tkachuk had the game of his life in the playoffs. It's the best game that I have seen Matthew Tkachuk play. He had a goal and an assist. He was instrumental in getting the Florida Panthers up off the mat. And then the effort, the energy, the play that he made at the end of the game, desperation, sweeping that puck off the goal line as McDavid was coming in for an empty netter. That was a great play by Matthew Tkachuk. Unfortunately, the rest of his team on the ice didn't have the same level of urgency to make sure that that play meant anything in the waning seconds of the game. And then Connor McDavid. Connor McDavid locked up the Conn Smythe last night. I don't care what debate, what argument you want to throw my way, it doesn't matter. It simply doesn't matter. In the two wins that the Edmonton Oilers have in the Stanley Cup Final, Connor McDavid has been the driving force behind them. He has Conn Smythe locked up. What were some of the key takeaways? Not your observations yet, Chapman, but key takeaways for you from game number 5.
Well, you're right. That debate is over. I don't care if the Oilers lose 10-0 on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Connor McDavid's going to win the Conn Smythe. Like, that's it. 8 points in his last two games. That's that's unheard of. You know, he is the reason why the Florida Panthers have not raised the Stanley Cup already. I know it's a team game, but McDavid's Herculean efforts the last two games have really been what's catapulted the Oilers back into this series. I can't even believe we're saying that, back into the series, that this series is still a series. Like, that to me is mind-blowing, because I was as confident as anyone that this thing was ending last night. So I think the other thing is Chris Knobloch's a pretty good coach. Like, we didn't know what we were going to get from him, but the Edmonton, and I'm going to specifically point out their penalty kill, is unlike it's so good that every time Florida takes or gets a penalty, I'm just in the back of my mind saying, is Edmonton going to score another shorthanded goal here? Like, they are so good. And here's the other thing, and maybe I should save this for my observation, and I think I will, but like, this has turned into a really fun series. Like, we thought that I said yesterday going in it was going to be the best game of the series. I think it turned out to be the best game of the series, because it actually was a really good game if you take out the fact that Florida only played for about 40 minutes of it. It's fun. I still feel confident that Florida is going to find a way to win one of these next two games. But, I mean, you got to give credit to the Oilers. You know, here we were, especially me on Friday, shoveling dirt on their grave, and they've shut me up. They've shut me up, and I know no one in Edmonton cares what I have to say. You know, Mark Savard, our friend of the show, Mark Savard, who is not only a great performer, but a big Edmonton Oiler fan. Like, next time I see him, he's probably going to give me a hard time. Like, dude, you could never mention the Edmonton Oilers again. Like, and he may hypnotize me into not saying the Edmonton Oilers ever again. But
oh boy,
I mean, listen, it's turned into a series. I kind of don't want it to end. I kind of want Edmonton to win Game 6 just so we get a Game 7. But man, it's fun. It's fun.
So this is what you get when you have a legitimate series in the Stanley Cup Final, and it didn't look like we were going to get there. It looked like the Oilers were dead in the water. They had injury issues. Evander Kane was playing. He was banged up, wasn't effective. And the Oilers move away from Kane, because you can't put a player out there that can't give you 100%. And it wasn't an effort thing with Evander Kane. He just physically could not go. Darnell Nurse, there were questions as to whether or not he'd be able to play Game 3. He only played four shifts. And all of a sudden, Darnell Nurse looks like a different guy for Games 4 and 5. Like, that's huge for the Edmonton Oilers. I don't know if they found, like, serum or something like that allowed this team to heal up and heal up quickly, but they have pressed all the right buttons. Chris Knobloch, Paul Coffey, like, this coaching staff has found a way to get this team pushing in the right direction. You even got a goal from Corey Perry. He didn't do anything other than put the puck in the back of the net. Like, he directed the puck in. It was all Connor McDavid on that play. But Corey Perry scored a goal. Like, that's how well things are going right now for Edmonton. But for the Oilers, because of the hole they put themselves in early on in the series, they can't have an off night. They can't have a setback. They can't have a 10 or 15 minute stretch in Game 6 or Game 7 if they force that, where they just don't have it, because that's not allowable for them anymore. Their margin for error is nil. And so it'll be interesting to see how the Oilers kind of play with that over the next game, Game 6, in front of their home crowd, and how they deal with it in Game 7 should the series get there. So let's go into great observations now. This is obviously brought to you by Leon Draisaitl, who I have to believe, Chapman, that Draisaitl's not healthy. Like, when you think about this series and you think about the impact that McDavid has had Bouchard has had. You got a goal from Zach Hyman last night. Like, you're starting to see the star power come to the forefront for the Oilers, and the depth hasn't gone away. But missing from that is Leon Draisaitl, and I wonder how different this series would be if Draisaitl was pushing the needle offensively. He hasn't been that guy. He hasn't done it. But if he was, if Draisaitl was the force that he had been at different stops throughout this playoffs, the Oilers might be the team looking to close out on Friday night in front of their home fans, but it just hasn't happened. Now, that's not one of my observations, just something I wanted to say. I don't think Leon Draisaitl is 100%. I don't think that he's healthy, and the lack of production, I feel like, backs that up in some way as you look at this team through the first five games of the Stanley Cup Final. Now, my first great observation. I already talked about Connor McDavid. He's got the Conn Smythe locked up. If you believe otherwise, I'm telling you, you're going to be sorely mistaken. If the Oilers lose in Game 6, Connor McDavid's winning the Conn Smythe. If the Oilers lose in Game 7, Connor McDavid is winning the Conn Smythe. He has proven without a shadow of a doubt that he is the most valuable player to his team in these playoffs. But I would make the argument, coming off of that performance, that Connor McDavid is the most dominant athlete in his sport. Full stop. I know Patrick Mahomes exists. I get it. I know Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal and Novak Djokovic were kind of the three-headed monster in tennis and so dominant for so long. But when you look at McDavid and you look at what he's been able to put together over the last two games, 8 points, 3 goals, 5 assists over 2 games in the Stanley Cup Final, where the goal scoring, the production is supposed to shrink and diminish, and it doesn't for McDavid. When you factor in that he's got 11 points now through the first 5 games of the Stanley Cup Final, 42 points this postseason, 2 more games potentially to work with, and he's just 5 back of the NHL record for most points ever in a playoff year. It's unreal what McDavid is doing when it gets harder and harder and harder to score. And we've run down what the Florida Panthers have been able to do 5-on-5 to the likes of Pasternak and Panarin and Zibanejad. Like, it is unreal what Connor McDavid has been able to do. And then beyond just this playoffs, right? Beyond just this microcosm of what what McDavid's accomplished this year, he's got 37 goals and 117 points in 72 career playoff games. He is a playoff performer. He is dominant in the regular season, dominant in the playoffs, and this has been his defining moment as a professional hockey player. This has been the calling card for Connor McDavid. This has been a career-defining stretch for him, and he is the most dominant player in his sport, full stop.
Great observation.
Yeah, no disagreement.
Thanks,
for me,
Leon.
On that one. Like, he's what he's doing in these playoffs is really something that, I mean, he's on another planet right now, and he's been for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. My first observation is the Edmonton Oilers' depth is a lot better than you, I, Darren, and I think everyone else thought they would be going into this series. Mm-hmm. The Edmonton Oilers have gotten key contributions from guys like Dylan Holloway, Connor Brown with the big goal last night, Corey Perry, you mentioned. Yeah. By the way, Corey Perry added to his own record as he was the only player to score a goal for 4 different teams in the Stanley Cup. Well, now he's done it for 5 different teams scoring a goal in the Stanley Cup final. So that's kind of a really cool and obscure record, I would say. But, you know, Corey Perry getting it done last night, and as you mentioned, he only needed to tap it in. But you know what? It all counts the same. Look, it's been a game or a series where the team whose depth has been better in that specific game has generally won the game. The problem is for Florida right now, you're dealing with Connor McDavid, who is, like we said, he's locked up the Conn Smythe, where you kind of had him under wraps for the first few games. But now the depth of the Edmonton Oilers is better than the depth of the Florida Panthers. So it's proven to be a very, very difficult challenge. Like, I believe if they had been able to either slow down the depth or slow down McDavid, the series is over. But when you combine the two, they have no answer. They don't have an answer when Connor McDavid is clicking and the depth of the Oilers is playing as well as it is. Don't get me wrong. If Edmonton comes back and wins this series, it's going to be because of Connor McDavid. But the contributions of the depth, guys like Darnell Nurse, who all of a sudden looks like he's the guy who earned that $9.5 million contract years ago, where he's playing well. Guys who I mean, Matthias Janmark almost had the empty net goal that would have clinched it last night. He was inches away from putting that puck in. And if not for Carter Verhaeghe getting back there, Janmark would have had the empty net goal to clinch the game. So Edmonton's depth deserves a ton of credit in this one. And in my opinion, the series is not a series if not for the contributions of the bottom six of the Edmonton Oilers.
Great observation.
And that's the thing, right? You need your superstars to perform the first three games or so of the Stanley Cup final. That wasn't happening for Edmonton. But now that it has, the depth is backing up what the superstars are doing. And that's what makes Edmonton such a formidable team right now. And seemingly, even though they're down 3-2 in the series, it feels like the Oilers right now are the ones in control, not the Florida Panthers. All right, great observation number two for me. Matthew Tkachuk had the game of his life, and it wasn't enough. Like, imagine that feeling when you talk about going out and seizing the moment prior to the game. We talked about Tkachuk and his commentary prior to Game 5 about how we have an opportunity to live out our dream and accomplish what we've always wanted to accomplish. Tonight, we're going to go out and do that. And then Tkachuk delivers. Individually, he delivers. He had the first goal of the game for Florida, his first goal of the series. He had been relatively quiet until last night. But he scores that goal, he gets his team moving, he wills them into a spot where they could start pushing the pace, pushing the pressure, and then he makes the great pass to Oliver Ekman-Larsson to pull Florida within one. And I know that McDavid picked the puck right back up and scored an empty net goal, I do, but when you have Matthew Tkachuk diving with his stick and making that play on the goal line, you want to tell me that this doesn't mean something to him? It does. If everybody on the Florida Panthers can bring that same energy that Matthew Tkachuk had in Game 5, then the Florida Panthers are going to be able to figure this out. The problem is they didn't have enough guys playing this game like it meant everything the way that Matthew Tkachuk did. And you saw it on the game on the empty net goal for Connor McDavid. Matthew Tkachuk makes that play. What the heck is Oliver Ekman-Larsson doing? Like, all you've got to do is follow up and make a hard play on the wall against Connor McDavid. I know there's only 20 seconds left. I know you're probably not going to be able to get the puck down the ice and score. But to just concede a goal the way that Florida did after that effort from Tkachuk, that's concerning. With the Stanley Cup in the building and all the momentum in your favor, it's inexcusable. And so if I'm Matthew Tkachuk, I'm looking at my teammates, I'm looking at every single guy that's going to throw a Panther sweater on for Game 6 on Friday, and I'm saying, look at what I did in Game 5. Match that energy, match that intensity, and maybe, just maybe, if we do that, we'll have a chance to win the Stanley Cup.
Great observation.
Yeah, the only defense I could come up with for Ekman-Larsson is he thought the puck was in the net. Like, that's the only thing I could think of, that he thought that Edmonton had scored and it was already, like, maybe Tkachuk did not get there in time. But, I mean, yeah, there's really no excuse. You play through the whistle, right? Isn't that? I mean, I don't know. I didn't play hockey, but I'm assuming that's what you're taught when you're growing up playing the game. Play to the whistle or you play to the goal horn.
Yeah.
And neither of those things transpired. So, Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that one. My second observation is somebody who had been MIA showed up last night for Edmonton, and that's Evan Bouchard. Now, going into game four, he had only had 1 point in the series. It was an assist, and I think it was in game two, the loss. But the last two nights, and specifically last night, he's made his presence felt. He had three assists to go along with the one assist he had on Saturday. If Edmonton was ever going to get back and win this series, you are going to need to get something out of Evan Bouchard. He's now boosted his total to 5 points in the playoffs or in the Stanley Cup final. He hasn't scored a goal since game four, I think, against Dallas, but he's now getting it done in the distribution area, which is something he excels at. If Evan Bouchard is able to continue to play at the level he has for the last two nights, Edmonton's going to be in really, really good shape going forward. Like, everything seems to be coming together for the Oilers. And yes, McDavid's been the cog that's driven the wheel and the reason why. But Evan Bouchard had a fantastic game last night. Three assists, as I mentioned. Without that contribution from him, maybe they don't win that game. Like, as good as McDavid was, maybe they don't win the game if Bouchard, if he's at the trajectory that he had been in the previous couple of games. So with his arrival, it becomes a lot better for the Oilers. It increases their chances to push this to a game seven and maybe even win it in seven. I like the odds of the Edmonton Oilers winning this series if Evan Bouchard plays like he did last night.
Great observation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good observation. This is one I never thought I'd come to. This is a conclusion I didn't think I had in me. And yet, here we are, probably the most controversial thing I'm ever going to say on this show. Stuart Skinner is clutch. Chapman, Stuart Skinner is a clutch goaltender.
Should I just hit it now?
No. I've got to explain myself, but the numbers speak for themselves. In games 4 through 7 this postseason, that means every single series that the Oilers have played, games 4 through 7 so far this postseason, Stuart Skinner is 9-0 with a 1.56 goals against average, a .938 save percentage, and one shutout. Like, when the series is on the line, when the Oilers are either looking to eliminate an opponent or they are on the brink of elimination, Stuart Skinner is unbeatable. And beyond being unbeatable, he's not giving up anything. Like, we saw him close out the Dallas Stars, and I didn't think that that was replicable for Stuart Skinner, especially with the break in between the Western Conference Final and the Stanley Cup Final. I just didn't think he'd be able to get back to that level. But as the series wear on, Stuart Skinner gets better and better and better. When the stakes get higher, Stuart Skinner raises the level of his game. I'm as surprised as anybody else. I'm as confused as anybody else. Stuart Skinner has proven without a shadow of a doubt, he is absolutely clutch when it matters the most.
Great observation.
You know, the saves that he's made in game four and then last night early on, like the entire series could have been completely different if early on in that game four, Florida is able to score one of those goals. And then last night he had that big save. Was it on Verhaeghe? Early on, that kind of set the tone for his night. And then he had a big save late in the third period after Florida had cut it to one goal. He had a big save at almost point-blank range. So, yeah, he's dialed in. And when he's dialed in, he's proven to be a really good goalie. My observation is more so, and I don't know if it's a hot take or not, but a few weeks ago you and I had the conversation on whether or not Edmonton, if they could get back to the Stanley Cup final next year. I was wrong.
Yep.
This team is legit from top to bottom. They've got the right coach in place. If Stuart Skinner plays the way he does, they're going to be good. Obviously, you have the best player on the planet as your number one guy. You've got a guy right behind him in Leon Draisaitl. But this goes back to my point about the depth. I think McDavid has elevated his game so much that it's elevated the game of everyone else around him. Like, when you have a guy like that on your team, you set the bar so high that it forces guys who might be role players, might be average players, might be fringe guys, it forces them to elevate their game. And I don't particularly care who returns next season for the Oilers. They will field a good enough team to where Connor McDavid, if he's doing his thing, they're going to be really tough to beat. And I think regardless of what happens in this series, win or lose, the confidence boost that this team has gotten from the last two games, but not only that, beating the Dallas Stars the way they did, so it almost looked easy in those last few games the way they beat Dallas. This team is going to be a force regardless of who is in the bottom six because of the fact that they have the best player in the world and they've got the right coach and everything is clicking for them. And we kind of talked about their win streaks yesterday and who they beat during those win streaks. They're still impressive. I mean, you put together a 16-game win streak and an 8-game win streak, it's still impressive. Like, you're a really good team if you're able to do that. But Ryan, like, this team, I could not have been more wrong about them. I didn't think they would lay down, but I thought they had no chance going back to Florida and winning a game 5 after staving off elimination in game 4. I figured Florida was going to win it probably by 2 or 3 goals, and there was nothing that Edmonton was going to be able to do about it. I was wrong. I'll eat crow on that one all day because the Edmonton Oilers, they are a championship team. Whether or not they win the Stanley Cup, that is a championship team. And I think it's only a matter of time for them. You hope later rather than sooner if you're a Golden Knights fan, but they are going to be a force in the Pacific Division for many, many years. And it's going to be tough to beat them going forward.
Great observation.
Yeah, that's a really good one. I don't know that I'm moving off of my take because I feel like the path for Edmonton was an easier one, at least through the first two rounds. And I wonder if early on in this postseason, if they get a different opponent, if it ends up being, you know, the Vegas Golden Knights, or if, you know, the LA Kings decided to address their goaltending earlier this season as opposed to right now, would things be a little bit different? Vancouver pushed Edmonton to the brink. If Thatcher Demko's in that game, do the Vancouver Canucks get it done? Like, there's a lot of different questions. No doubt the Edmonton Oilers have changed the narrative surrounding them as a team throughout this postseason, but my final great observation is this. The Western Conference is better top to bottom than the Eastern Conference. The last two Stanley Cup champions come out of the West. It's Colorado, it's Vegas. Edmonton is on the cusp of doing something unprecedented. It's only happened one time, hasn't happened in a long, long time. And there's belief there that the Oilers can get it done. In the two games that Edmonton has beaten Florida, they have been unequivocally the better team. And you can make the argument, as many Oilers fans have, that in game 1 they deserved a better fate. And even in game 3 they controlled that third period and should have been able to get that tied up. So the fact of the matter is, when you look at this series, I think the Oilers have played much better than a 3-2 series deficit would show. But I don't know that if it was any team other than the Florida Panthers, this series isn't already over and the Oilers are champions. Like, if it was the Rangers, the Oilers win. If it was Carolina, the Oilers win. Pick any team that made the playoffs from the Eastern Conference, and I think the Edmonton Oilers absolutely roll them over. If there was any question as to which conference brings about championship hockey in the playoffs, it's the Western Conference, and it's the Western Conference by a wide, wide margin. And if the Oilers can come back and win this series, there should be no question in anyone's mind that it is impossible to not favor the team coming out of the hardest conference in this league when we get to the Stanley Cup championship next season.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think the West has certainly proven that they are better than the East.
Great observation.
All right, thanks, Leon. We're going to take a break, come back with more on the VGK Insider Show. A 5-3 victory for the Edmonton Oilers in Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final has forced a Game 6 on Friday night. So Connor McDavid looks to continue his impressive streak through the Stanley Cup playoffs and the Stanley Cup Final and force a Game 7. Part of me feels like when you think about this series and how it's gone, that the best chance, and again, I get how ridiculous this sounds if you're a Florida Panther fan, but when you think about this objectively, I know Florida has two opportunities to win the Stanley Cup left. They've got Game 6 and Game 7 if necessary. I think the best chance for the Florida Panthers to win the Stanley Cup is in Edmonton in Game 6. I just don't believe that Edmonton will claw all the way back to a Game 7 just to lose Game 7. I just don't see it. So part of me feels like it's a must win on Friday for Florida. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I don't know the psyche of either team should it get to a Game 7. I do know that Florida is going to feel all the pressure in the world if it gets to a Game 7, because what they would be facing, I think, would be the biggest choke job in the history of, and I understand that the Yankees at one point led the Boston Red Sox 3-0 in a best of seven series. But that was not the World Series. And I understand that the Red Sox had 85 years or whatever it was of history that they needed to unleash on the Yankees in that series. It wasn't a championship series. You weren't three periods away from raising the Stanley Cup like the Florida Panthers were. I think you could be onto something, because the amount of pressure that the Florida Panthers would face in a Game 7 at home, knowing that they got their butts kicked in Game 4, they no-showed for the crucial part of Game 5, and then if they were to lose Game 6, however that unfolds, I just don't know if they'll be able to find a way. Like, I want to say that you're right, because if they lose Game 6, all bets are off in Game 7. Like, you don't know what you're going to get from this Panthers team, whereas I think you know what you're getting from Edmonton if they get to a Game 7. You're going to get their best game of the series. And I think that's a scary proposition for the Florida Panthers, for Edmonton to push it all the way to a Game 7. Like, I don't know what the numbers are. I mean, I know it hasn't happened a lot in any sport where a team has been up 3-0 and lost the series. But I don't know what the numbers look like for teams that were up 3-0, what their record is in that Game 7, whether it's a championship series or not. Like, I know was it the Kings and the Sharks years ago when the Sharks were up 3-0?
2014.
Yeah, and the Kings went on to win the Stanley Cup. So
But it was. I mean, that's a first round series, not the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, but
final,
that's my
right?
point. Like the team that blows that 3-0 series lead, I would venture to guess the odds of them winning Game 7 are not good. Like, I think the numbers would be in favor of the team that forced Game 7. You know, I'll have to look it up and see, and maybe that'll be catching up with Chapman, and I can give you a better number or update on that. But my initial guess is the team that forces Game 7 generally wins Game 7 in these situations.
Yeah, and I mean, I think about it absent of history. I just think that when you're looking at this series and you're assessing this series, and, you know, we kind of go through Game 4, the Panthers didn't know how to play that game with the chance to win the Stanley Cup with that victory in their sights. They were tight. They were uncharacteristic. They didn't handle the pressure particularly well, and they got routed. And then you go home with an opportunity to clinch in front of your home fans, and the first period, they were tight. They didn't really have that push. They didn't establish their game plan. They didn't play to their identity. And it's one of those scenarios where the deeper this goes, the more chances the Panthers waste to clinch, the tighter they're going to be. And this was a team that I heralded throughout the entire playoffs as being a team that understands their identity and plays it to a T and knows what they've got to do and all of those things. And it feels like right now that's all out the window. The only saving grace I feel like for the Florida Panthers is that when they went down 3-0, they woke up. And when they woke up, they were the better team. It wasn't enough to win that game because they were already in a hole. But if they can bring that to game six, if they can start on time, if they can get rid of the tightness and handle the pressure a little bit better, they'll be in a good spot. But I think their best chance to win this series is game six. As ridiculous as it sounds, with a 3-0 series lead and now a 3-2 series lead and two more cracks at it, their best opportunity, their best chance is on Friday night.
Yeah, they really need to come out and play. I think the first period is very, very important because the first period for them the last couple nights has been terrible. And I don't know why that's been. Like, I don't know how you come out in game five at home and you lay an egg in the first period. You give up a shorthanded goal. Like, you knew at that moment that they were in big trouble. And you called it. You and I think we were in a break, and we were talking, and you said, I have this feeling they're going to lose this game. And before you know it, it's 3-0. Bobrovsky was not good. When they went down 3-0 and scored to make it 3-1, I'm thinking, all right, there's a path back. When they gave up the fourth goal to go down 4-1, I said, there's no way back. It just wasn't going to happen. Yeah.
Insurmountable in game number five. We'll see what game six has in store for us on Friday. We'll take a break and come back with the Legal Minute. Ash, the attorney, she'll be with us on the VGK Insider Show. It's the Legal Minute with Sam and Ash. If you're in a crash, call Sam and Ash 702-303-0333 or go to samandashlaw.com. Joining us right now is Ash Watkins with Sam and Ash Law, as she does every single Wednesday. Ash, how you doing?
I'm great, guys. We've got a series.
we do. Now, I made the argument that the Panthers' best opportunity to win the Stanley Cup is going to be on Friday in Game 6. Part of me feels like if they don't win Game 6, they're not winning the series. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I feel like it's a momentum thing. It kind of gets in your head if you let it creep back to a game seven. So I'm with you, Ryan. I think game six is their best chance.
All right, now last one in terms of the hockey. I've made the argument now for a couple of days that win or lose, Connor McDavid will be the Conn Smythe Trophy winner. He will be the playoff MVP. I've had some pushback that you can't give it to a guy on the losing team if the Oilers do not complete the comeback. But I think what McDavid's done so far in the postseason, there's no player that has proven to be more valuable than he has to his team.
Yeah, I just, you know, I think I'm going to push back also. I think it's a tough one to give it to the losing team. It's also kind of a little awkward, you know. Your team gets kind of escorted off the ice as the winning championship team is hoisting the Stanley Cup, and then you've got to hang around and accept your own trophy. So I don't know. I think it could go either way. And that's a lawyer speaking.
So,
you know, it depends.
Yeah, I honestly, like, I'm in it for the awkward. Like, if there's one thing Connor McDavid does as well as playing hockey, it's being awkward and having awkward moments. So, like, if they lose and he wins and it's awkward, that's all the same, a win-win situation for everybody else. All right, so I want to dig into the first topic this week, and it's a pretty wild story coming out of New York City, where a man was hurling lawn chairs and, you know, different types of things off of a 20-story building in New York City. It was caught on tape. Fortunately, nobody seemed to be injured in this tantrum that this man was throwing. But, like, I guess considering the fact that we've got high rises here in Las Vegas, we've got the hotels and all of this stuff, like, what would happen if this were to happen here in Las Vegas?
Well, funny you should ask, Ryan. I mean, last fall, I think we had this happen at Caesar's Palace. We had a guy bust through a window in Caesar's Palace in one of the hotel towers, and he was throwing furniture out of the hotel room. And I think it was like a five-hour standoff. And so we saw exactly this scenario happen to us in the Strip. And ultimately, he ended up pleading guilty. And he was sentenced to at least 19 months, so almost 2 years in prison for what he did. I mean, the big issue is, you know, this is a recklessness on the safety of the people around him, the property around him, and then also the destruction of the hotel property. So that's what's going on in these types of situations.
So, like, if you get injured in that scenario, what's your recourse, right? Like, is it to the guy? Is it to the building, the property, all those things? Like, how do you find a way forward if you're injured by a projectile thrown by a man on a 20-foot building?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully none of your listeners ever have to deal with this, but you would look to pursue anyone that's potentially could be found at fault or a contributor for this incident happening. So obviously the person who's throwing the furniture, and then you look to the building. Mm-hmm. Like, should they have been on notice? Like, this has happened before. They should be drilling down the furniture into the office or hotel room so that it's not movable or potentially thrown out the window. And, you know, look, the story we're talking about today, that happened in Midtown Manhattan. Your likelihood of recovering for your damages or any injuries you sustain if you were hit by that, probably a little bit higher than if it was a residence in Midtown Manhattan than a hotel room on the Strip, because, you know, people come from all walks of life and stay there. So then you're looking to ultimately pursue the pockets that can compensate you, which is the building owner, the hotel, or the landlord, etc.
So I'm assuming that the things that were being thrown over the side of this building were property of somebody else. Like, can that person sue the building if it's determined that security wasn't doing their job, or that, you know, there was some lapse that allowed this man to do what he did?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, I guess if it was your property and someone broke into your room and threw your furniture off of or out off a balcony or out of a window, then, yeah, I mean, if you would go to your security, your building security, and say, look, I want to know how many other residences have been broken into in the last so many months or years, and if this is a known problem, what steps were reasonable for you to take to prevent it? Did you take those or not? And if you didn't take the reasonable steps to prevent the intrusion and ultimately the property loss, then yeah, I'm going to go after you, building owner.
So if someone out here right now is listening to this and they have had something fall on them from the sky, or if they have had their property damaged or any property loss, whatever it might be, and they're looking to get in touch with you to find out a little bit more about what they can do and how they can move forward, how would they do that? How do people get in touch with you?
Yeah, of course. If anything like this happens, or just if you sustain any type of injury, whether it's a car accident, slip and fall, dog bite, work injury, I mean, anything, and you just have questions, give us a call, 702-820-1234. We're available 24/7, 7 days a week, even on holidays. You know, today's a court holiday, but here we are working. So anytime, we're available and happy to help.
That is great stuff. That is Ash Watkins from Sam and Ash Law. You'll be with us next week, Ash, and we will have a Stanley Cup champion one way or another. So that'll be fun to discuss next week.
And a Conn Smythe champion or winner. So there we go. I look forward to it.
Yes. Exactly. That is Ash Watkins with Sam and Ash Law. If you're in a crash, call Sam and Ash 702-303-0333 or go to samandashlaw.com. Hour number two of the VGK Insider Show is coming up next right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas.